Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning. Nice Thursday morning out there. 65 degrees in Green Bay, 64 in Appleton, 64 in Oshkosh. Winds from the south-southwest at 8 to 10 miles an hour. Yep. Good morning, Big Wayne. Todd, where are we at on that?
What did you say again?
South-southwest, 8 to 10 miles an hour.
According to this, it's south at 7.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, close. Oh. Close.
It's my 3-degree guarantee like Cameron. 3 MPH. What? So, Big Wayne's in the house. Wayne, you're going to be happy. I got to tell you guys this story. So, I bought a bike.
Ooh.
With a big wide tire. Not the super wide.
Oh, fat tire?
Fat tire, but not the fat tire. Just like a mountain bike.
I didn't know there was a medium.
Yeah, it's a medium.
Okay.
And so it's like twice as much. You know what I mean? If you do like I did, you know, like I did like an hour yesterday, that'd be like 4 hours with a thin. But here's the deal.
Right. I don't think those bikes could handle your thighs.
Exactly. That's why I bought the
Or the crank. You have to get upgraded cranks on there just because of the power behind them.
Yeah, I do. So anyway, here's the deal. A couple of things. I biked yesterday on the trail.
Nice.
I went down to that Statue of God. You ever see that one?
That's not that far, but yeah.
It's pretty far. It's where that...
you said you were going to go to the pier, though.
Well, I was going...
Okay, yes. And where it is.
So, anyway...
St. Francis.
Oh, is that? I thought it was God. All right. So, anyway. So, I turned around there. It was a good workout because I was going pretty heavy. And I have proof that I was on the trail yesterday. Indisputable proof.
Did you wipe out? Did you see somebody?
Blood skin on the trail?
Yeah, I saw somebody.
Ah, you got a ticket because you don't have a license.
Ring them up.
$20 for the whole year. For the whole year.
Are you serious?
$25.
Okay, went up.
And I got a $10 citation, so $35 for my bike ride.
Wow.
No.
Yeah.
Why don't they should just put the $10 towards your
credit, right?
But here's the deal, though. I said, well, I just got this bike. It's like my first, second time on the bike. I said, I didn't even know how you, it's just, well, the kiosk is right here, but it's not working today.
Wow.
So even if I had wanted to buy a pass for the day, I would not have been able to, but I still would have gotten a ticket for not having a pass.
Not if you would have said, look, I tried and the kiosk isn't working. You know, it's too bad that you didn't try. You know what I mean? Like, I think he would have let you off, don't you?
No, well, I would have slipped Mayor Schmidt's pen to
doesn't
him.
Work anymore.
Let me tell you what I tried.
Damn it.
Let me tell you what I tried.
Believe me.
Let me tell you what I tried. Okay.
Okay.
It's a young girl, so I'm not gonna, you know, but so
county.
I tried
right?
Yeah,
county parks.
Yeah, county parks. Yeah.
County girl.
So it was like, yeah, the name. I said John M-A-I-N-O. Mino. Okay.
She doesn't know.
Not a clue. No. So then,
that hurts.
You work this summer.
You don't know who I am.
Right. So I said something about where you're from or something like that. She says, well, downstate Michigan. I go, where? She says, Detroit. I said, well, where are you really from? She says, well, Plymouth. I said, oh, okay. I said, I used to live in Flinches. Oh, my God. I used to go to school, and I started in Lapeer, East Lapeer, which was close by. Oh, blah, blah, blah. I said, what do you do now? She says, well, I go to college. I go, where? She goes, Northern Michigan. I go, oh, my God. I'm basically from Marquette.
You go Cats?
Yeah, go Cats. Hey, how do you like the Cats? You know, hey, you ever been to the 906 bar restaurants? My nephews own that. Okay, here's your citation.
Wow. That is amazing.
Just
that
doing her
they
job.
Didn't give you a warning.
I know. Wow. Like, I tried to pull at every angle I had.
She doesn't care. Just emotionless.
Okay, here's your ticket.
She's thinking about getting off of work and going down exactly. to the pub, you know.
Yes. Wow. Yes. So I have proof that I was on the trail yesterday.
That's empirical. Okay, you win. I'm not going to argue that one.
Nope.
They should have given, you know, I don't know. I mean,
Well, I just think it's funny that she tells me, I don't even know how to get a thing. She says, well, you get it from the kiosk here. I said, oh, okay. And she says, but it's broke today. But she's still giving me a citation for not having a ticket, for not
having
a pass.
That's, John, that's like not the norm.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, get your ticket. It's new in the season. Okay, you know, or here's a warning. You know, was she sitting in a chair?
No. They were standing, her and a guy.
Were you being obnoxious?
Why did you turn around?
Not the slightest.
Why didn't you turn around when you saw
him? Because I thought, what the heck? They pretty much got me. They can run me down.
That'd be a great story. Mido running from video the county
on,
girl.
The guy having the, what they call it, video on his thing. I pump it away.
And then all of a sudden, Mido just kind of gradually slows down because he's tired. Okay, you got me.
Because I have the license and go on there. There's people that do the U-turns all the time.
Oh, I play it. So I saw that. You told me that once.
I did.
But John is a law-abiding citizen. Yeah, absolutely. So he knew, right?
Of course.
Absolutely.
And the mayor, of course, has a license, but he drives to work every I have a license on my bike.
Those trail, there's people, that was funded through different resources. There are a lot of people who lobby that there shouldn't be any
fees.
A lot of people, but they
why
come
do
to
they have fees
to pay for the county girls?
They have plenty of money. Oh. They have that sales tax, the room. They have plenty of money, and I'm not kidding. And I had a county board supervisor on here, and they're like, "Look, we've got a lot of money, so I don't think they should be clipping a bicyclist." And we always the community has got this whole WELLO program. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's like a health initiative, and it has to do with infrastructure, education. If we're promoting health and wellness, why fine someone $35, for getting on
the
bike?
Can you dispute it?
I don't know.
You should, just to make a point.
I think you should, too.
Yeah, just
John,
to make a point.
We need some free publicity, Johnny. The Bart Starr Bridge thing didn't work.
Let's get the girl on the show.
Yeah, ooh, that'd be fun.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Or we could get her supervisor on there. Too.
No, I think the other girl would be better. She'd be better. That'd be a better story.
But I mean, isn't that funny? I don't even know how to get a thing. I said, I just got this bike the other day. And she said, well, the kiosk is right here. I said, oh, okay. She said, but it's broke today.
That's I almost can't believe that she still gave you the ticket.
Yeah.
That's like saying, wait, you just go on your phone.
Right.
I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we're gonna work. That story is not over.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, too, what if you lived, because is there one on the other end then, too? A kiosk got the other end someplace to use the trail? Like if you're heading.
That's the beginning of the trail on Polier, like I told you.
Right. But then what if you started in Wrightstown?
Well, you can buy those things.
I'm going to go to downtown Green Bay, and you didn't. Is there a kiosk heading that way?
Well, you can buy those trail passes.
But what he's saying, you could ride that entire trail and get away with it, I think is what John's saying.
But what I'm saying is they might say to you, look, you can buy a trail pass for your bike anywhere.
Was there proper signage?
You don't have, I think so, no.
You don't have to buy it from a kiosk.
But who, like, okay, if you're visiting from Minnesota and you're staying in Wrightstown and they say, hey, I want to go to downtown Green Bay. Oh, I could take this bike all the way. And they stop you right there by that kiosk.
Is there a?
How would you know I'm doing something illegal?
Yeah, I don't know that. I don't know that there's a. I don't know if there's kiosks along the trail.
That's what I mean.
Because where you, like I said, Polier, and Adams is the beginning of the trail.
Yeah,
and there's obviously a huge kiosk. You can't really miss that though.
Well, you can't because they got those like the Dogway station, and they got the bike repair station. They all kind of look alike.
The bike repair. No, I don't.
But what I'm saying is,
I understand what you're saying. I don't know if this. And I'm not going to say yes. You're right because there could be a kiosk on the other. But the trail really doesn't end. That's pretty far down there. I mean, it's through Wrightstown.
That's what I mean.
Almost to the end of the county, doesn't it? That goes, like 20 some miles. It's pretty far. You're right. If you get on the middle of the trail, you're in De Pere. You just break on there. I wonder what she would have done.
That's what I mean. Wow. And I told her I was coming from De Pere.
I don't know, John. I think you might have a. I'm with Wayne.
She's just a summer help. She doesn't
take
care.
This to
she's
the, yeah. She's
job.
On commission. Yeah. Come on.
Commission. That's great.
All right. But I will say this. I had a laugh, though, because last night I went to the farmer's market, and it's down by, went to say hello to Dennis from the Glam Band and everything, brought him some cheese curds and stuff. And but you're standing there, and there's cars going, because when I walked across the bridge on Walnut here, there was a car that was louder than a stock car, a dirt track racer. And I bet it got up to 85 by the time it got to the top of the bridge. And it's like, well, thank goodness we have people protecting the trails on their bicycles. But this guy's driving around all night long.
I got an answer for those loud cars. You're going to like it. I've been working on getting a guest in here, and he emailed me last night. Just stay tuned
for
that.
I thought it was funny. It's like, well, thank God.
All right. All right. We got to get to Wayne. We got to get to Wayne. We got to
Wayne.
Wayne.
Hey,
welcome.
Hey, hey, hey. Well, how are you cutting me off at 6:30 now when I was supposed to start?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We are. All right, then we better get right into the story.
We'll keep it around a little bit after that.
We can.
Yep.
I'll make it fast.
You look really good in your Brown County beekeeper vest.
That's awesome.
I know one of our members, Dave Elson, is listening, who was on the show. Dave.
Yeah.
Dave, text in what vintage year this vest is from.
It looks good.
This is great.
It looks outstanding. Pockets. I don't think the guy was as big as you who owned it prior. I'm just saying.
Got to get a picture.
Yeah.
So anyway, can we get started?
Yeah, take it away. Boom. It's your segment.
So I am doing, so this is kind of the start of my story, because the guest that I was going to bring in from NWTC Sustainable Agriculture had another gig going on.
Okay.
And he was going to talk to us about permaculture. Remember the last time?
So okay.
I'm working on that story yet.
All right.
But
this is
going to be my creme de la creme story for 2024 is Wisconsin women in beekeeping.
All righty.
So the reason why I'm doing this is we're seeing not a spike, but a slow increase in women in beekeeping. And so I pulled some statistics, and nationally 30% of beekeepers are female, but locally, state and locally, we're seeing 42% are women. And that's actually right on to what I had, one of our guys pulled the numbers from our club, and 41.6 are female. So I emailed, and I haven't heard from everyone yet, and I know I will. I'll get answers from them, but I did get some answers from some of them, and some of the women that I'm reaching out to, and so these are some of the. So Stephanie Slater, she's on the Wisconsin Honey Producers Board. She's probably one of the most active beekeepers in the state. Donna Stein. So anyway, these are good names and everything. So I asked my main question, my main reason for doing this, because how I do beekeeping is I use technology. And I always tell people, you know what? The way that your dad did bees 30, 40, 50 years ago is not going to be how we do bees going forward. We haven't changed the way we've kept bees since Dr. Langstroth created the hive.
Keep going.
Is that okay?
We got 30 seconds till a quick break. Then okay. So hold it right there. Yep. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
When we get back,
seconds.
Yeah, we'll talk about how women are changing beekeeping.
Yeah, we're going to do a Women of Beekeeping calendar.
Oh.
But they got to wear the big bee hats.
Oh, yeah. That's a good, yeah.
I know, right?
It'll be the
anybody
opposite
can win.
Of what you think. Yep.
Back after this.
Don't you try to think ahead. Save tomorrow for tomorrow. To know, don't you mind about the future?
Hey, welcome back. Big Wayne in the house. What is the buzz, big man?
Boom. Okay, so I asked, get back right into it. I asked two questions. So my main reason for this is to say, how is beekeeping in the future going to change because of the participation of women?
Yes.
So I'm going to look towards the mayor for questions on this. So anyway, as you can see, so the first question was, what drew you to beekeeping? And just to kind of pull the main thing out of it, as you'll see, is it's more, is cerebral a word? They're more thoughtful of why they're getting into it. They want to, it's something that they're passionate about. They want to promote it. They want to talk about other things than just producing honey and pollen, you know, and the pollination services. They're into more of caring about the bees, the other products of the hive.
And I think that speaks well for the community, because we launched STEM, well, how many years ago? But
yeah, that's exactly.
Where, you know, to get, and it was kind of focused a little bit on the girls' side of the aisle. To that, too many guys in science, technology, energy, and engineering and math. And so maybe that encouraged some of them to take a look at this from, instead of a bee collection, to more of a scientific approach.
Yeah, well, I think what it's doing is, instead of a financial thing where, you know, we're trying to push them to make honey, push them to pollinate services and everything, where the women are a little, and I'm not generalizing, I'm just saying, because men and women do the same thing, is women are more thoughtful and caring. So they're talking more about caring for bees, like Julie that was on the show. You know, she wants to talk about, how can we how can we make the bees that the you know more healthy and everything? Because honestly, this is a good thing, and the reason is why I went down this road is because everyone talks about how how bees are decreasing and there's so many pressures on bees. Well, beekeepers have to look at themselves first, say, what are we doing to make this better? Because everybody's so quick to blame the farmers, you know, this, you know, the weather and things like that. Well, we haven't changed how we kept bees since 1852, since Dr. Langstroth created the Langstroth hive. It hasn't changed.
Revolutionized my world.
So what's happening now is, it's more on, and I tell Malene Wells, because I love dairy farming, and dairy farmers are.
You still stalk her?
I do.
Okay. Yeah, just wondering. Okay.
Oh yeah. Right, oh yeah. Yeah. She's meeting me. She's meeting me at the Botanical Gardens next Thursday for a show.
Nice.
Yeah,
yeah.
Against her will, of course.
Of course.
She'll probably have security with her. now I lost my thought.
I'm sorry.
Damn it.
Sorry. You're talking about the Malene Wells.
Oh yeah, dairy farmer. That they're again because of so much money in it. They're so far ahead of any agriculture in the state. And if you talk to any dairy farmer or any ag reporter, it's all about comfort of the cows. A happy cow will produce more.
I've heard that. Is that true?
Well, absolutely.
Okay.
It's any livestock. Just with my chickens, you know, if they're happier, they're going to produce more eggs. Well, bees aren't any different. So instead of just throwing them in a box and keeping bees like we did, you know, 100 years ago, what we're now doing is more thoughtful. Okay. You know, do we need to work on more nutrition? Do we need to work on a different type of box? So women are driving this because, you know, they're like, hey, okay, I'm keeping bees, but again, I'm generalizing. I can't lift a 100-pound box of bees, so therefore, I need something lighter. So now, the manufacturers and developers now are seeing this and like, okay, we can. So the women are keeping bees in smaller boxes.
Okay.
They're lighter boxes. We're looking at more insulated boxes. You know, I'm doing more technology things. So that's what's driving the industry. And finally, because, you know, beekeeping has been in the dark ages for so long because it was primarily men and men don't like to talk. You know? And I was talking to one of our commercial guys and he goes, you know what, Wayne? 20 years ago, we could do whatever we wanted. Nobody asked questions. Now, when we're at the farmer's market selling honey, people are asking us questions.
Because it seems very funny. Not funny. It seems very really, it's funny, but that's become a cool thing to do.
Yeah. But that's going to make the industry better because it's going to make people stop and say, okay, I need to do better. I need to care for my bees better.
Up my game?
Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
That's awesome, Wayne. That, you know, they really bring, that's cool that, even though it's been around forever, you're looking at it a little bit differently, and it has to do with some of the women that are
right
weighing in on this.
Yep.
The other reason I think that you're getting more questions at the farmer's market is, like Johnny said, I mean, it's more aware right now. People are aware of it, and you've been on here, and you've got those things at the library, and I think people are like, wow, this is more than just...
Yeah, and that's exactly what women are. They're driving that. Women are more out in front. So, you know, they're just like my wife. She makes her purchases on emotions. So it's like, I don't like how they do that, or I believe in this. So therefore I'm going to buy this, whether it's right or wrong. That's how a lot of women purchase. So, and that's how, and I've kind of picked up on this, and that's why with my honey cart stand, why I try to be very transparent and educate people. And I never point fingers. I'm just saying, this is what I do. And this is what I'm trying to change in the industry. And guess what? I look on my Facebook profile for my business page, and it's 50% women are fans of that. And that's pretty much the standard for who's pulling up at my cart.
Do you have some of your bodybuilding pictures on there, though, too? Just curious, Wayne. Come on. You know, what sells.
2001 Mr. Natural Wisconsin. Let me pull
absolutely
that out.
Absolutely. Oh, I ever showed you this. Yeah.
So anyway, so I'm going down this road, and I'm gonna get more information because I want to go back to Midwest Farm Report and do an interview with them, and I think it's going to be a good story.
But you're ahead of the game nationally in terms of participation.
Oh, for
so
sure.
When you get this information as to how it's helping, why it's helping, how you come here beating the national, do you then share that? Do you have a national association you go make a presentation to?
Yeah, we have Wisconsin Honey Producers, which the one of the board members is Stephanie Slater. That's who I'm interviewing. And then you have the National Honey Producers. They're the ones that do the lobbying for.
Got a texter. Yes! !! Happy cow is a healthy cow. Thank you for saying that, Wayne.
Exactly. And bees are the same way. And I'll tell you why. And I'm into technology. I monitor. And again, not everybody agrees with what I'm doing because I think it's whenever you do something different, it seems like it's a hot point. Like people are very aggravated. And it's like, I'm not telling you to do this. I'm just telling you why I'm doing it. So I can monitor every one of my hives remotely, wherever they are. I can tell you the temperature of each brood box. I can tell you the weight. I can tell you the activity in front of the hive. I can tell you the vibration inside the hive. So this year has been a weird year because just like the maple, everything came really early. So the bees built up very early. And then when May hit, May was a colder month, a lot of rain and cooler nights. Well, that's not good for bees because bees need to get out. Bees actually like hot, dry weather because they're foraging on trees, things that don't necessarily need a lot of rain. When it rains, that wipes off the pollen and the nectar. So it takes a day or two for that to come back. So my bees have been starving. So me knowing this ahead of time, not just going in there every 2 weeks, I pulled my honey supers off and I hit reset and I threw the syrup and pollen and feed at them and they are much happier. So hopefully now with the basswood and the clover starting to go, I can get honey.
That's awesome. I want your bees to be honey.
Me too.
Be happy.
Because you know what?
Happy bees.
Happy bees means happy
and
Wayne.
And they sting less too.
There you go, right? Great having you here, buddy.
Thank you, honey.
Love the vest. Thank you for bringing us treats too. I love that.
All right.
All right. Big Wayne's been in the house. We'll be back with more right after this.
The Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor, things that happen in a lobby as one guest is leaving and one guest is arising
that don't
happen in other shows. Where one person says to the other person, hey, weren't you in the bodybuilding competition with me?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I was. And then pictures are brought out of these guys.
You're killing me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah.
A little creepy, but yeah.
So then they're doing posing. They're doing these little kind of to each other. What'd you think of this move? Only on Mino and the Mayor. We'll get to that in a minute. First, this segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Ordering windows in an older home can be a real challenge the way they did things way back when. It's why many people with historic homes reach out to Pella. Their team of experts can customize windows and doors that match architecture from any era. It doesn't matter what kind of a home you live in. They offer nearly endless possibilities and design flexibility in sizes, custom colors, finishes, and so much more. And if you order from Pella today, get 0% interest for up to 48 months. Give them a call. Check them out. Visit PellaWI.com for a free in-home consultation.
All right. Well, every week we like to feature a business of the week. And there's a relatively new business, right? 6 months? How long have you been around?
Since November.
Oh, since November. Yeah. All right. A little longer. That is about 6 months.
Yeah.
Because I was at your ribbon cutting. And you...
Introduce our guest.
I'm going... I'm done.
Okay.
Well, setting it up a little bit. Okay. A new business in Green Bay that really checks a lot of boxes, and the name of your business is Uptown Cheapskate. So it's high-end stuff at really good prices, and it's clothing, and you own a franchise. So we're here with Lynn and John Mocco. We're going to talk to Lynn more than John because it's your store, and it's a franchise.
Yes.
So why'd you get into this?
I've always wanted to do this. I lived in Maine. I'm originally from Maine. I moved here 3 years ago, and... always wanted to do this concept, and we ended up finding this franchise, and we decided to jump in with both feet. So instead of doing one store, we're doing two.
And tell us about the concept.
Okay, so it's people bring stuff in. We go through that stuff. And
they bring clothes in.
Yeah,
it's a higher-end thrift store.
Yeah, right. It's clothes, it's accessories, shoes, and then on the kids' side, it's a little different. But yeah, we buy all that stuff, and we it's just the concept of bringing stuff in that people don't want anymore. We turn around and we sell it, and then stuff that we don't want and they don't want that we partnered up with Freedom House, Manor for Life, and St. Paul for donations. And we've done a lot of donations to those people.
So your product is, for lack of better words, it's kind of like a recycle. It's people who buy the clothes. They go to your place, yes. And it's just very high-end, gently worn clothes. I mean, I've been through there, and I teach at TC, and I was talking about your business. And, I don't know, 3-4 kids out of 20 raise their hand, and they've been there. I mean, it's good price. It's good clothes at good quality price. So who do you cater to? You've got two different segments?
So, yeah, the demographic is, teens, preteens, up to, age 50. And we even have grandmas that come in there if they, dress their style or whatever.
You're a grandma.
I know.
grandma isn't right. The thing we get in our mind, right. That's off the window.
Right. Still no, grandma. No, yeah. The walkers. Yeah.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Yeah. So so that's the uptown side. And then obviously the kid to kid's not quite open yet for selling things, but we are, we just 4 weeks now.
Yeah, about 4 weeks.
4 weeks in for buying clothes in. And that is for newborns up until age 14. So we decided to have the concept of having both stores side by side. We're the first one to do that in the U.S. And so you can get to both stores from the back. And then it's for the whole family. So it's
You're located in Ishwaubenon, right next to really JCPenney's, right?
Yep, JCPenney, right next to Pizza Ranch.
But Pizza Ranch, yep. Right. This is a franchise. I mean, it's a great idea you had, but you were looking... Tell me, because I think the last time we talked to you, you were out in Salt Lake City buying the franchise, right?
Yeah, the franchise is headquartered out of Salt Lake City. They've been around for almost 40 years.
Oh, good.
There's a couple hundred uptown stores in the country and about a couple hundred kid-to-kid stores in the country. And like Lynn was saying, we looked at it and we go, well, why would these not be one entity? Why would you not put them side by side? So we did. So we rented out a big space over by JCPenney and the Pizza Ranch. And we bifurcated the building, and we have Uptown on one side and Kid to Kid on the other. And so it's great. I mean, your family's a good example, Mayor. You've got grandkids, plus you've got kids. And so, you can go on either side.
And my kids, and like a lot of kids, are frugal shoppers. They are, even though they make a lot more than their dad will ever make, they come in and they buy their stuff at restores, their furniture. I think that is so cool that it's like the chic
it's
thing.
It's the cool thing
it's
to
the
do.
It's cool thing to do. Unlike back when we were kids, when the poor people went to those places.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, really, they did.
Right,
and,
it's true.
And now it's like...
They brag about it now.
They do.
Yeah. Absolutely. I have daughters that do the same thing. They think it's really cool. And even kids that come in the store now, they're like, I bought this whole entire outfit here. I came back to look for some
stuff. I was going to say, that's more of a status symbol than I went to the mall and laid out $220 for this outfit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. They like to know that they spent that.
Like Lululemon, for example, instead of paying $120 for a pair of leggings, you pay $30.
Right.
And, they're perfectly fine.
Well, the kids' clothes, too, though. I mean, I got three grandkids.
Oh, my gosh.
And their clothes are so expensive.
They are.
They're little designer clothes.
We love guys like you because we buy all this really expensive stuff for your grandkids because they just have to have it.
Yeah.
And then, they can wear it twice.
Yeah, exactly. They outgrow it so bleeping fast that, exactly.
You also have equipment, don't you, Lynn, on the kids' side?
So on the kids' side, which is interesting because, we're only 4 weeks into this, we sell baby equipment, so high chairs and strollers and all that equipment that you need
bassinets,
for babies.
Yep.
That is toys, books. I mean, all the stuff that kids would need, even outdoor, play stuff, toys.
I'm going
and
through
stuff.
That. Brand new, that stuff is a fortune.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't believe how expensive those, all that, the bassinet you talked about.
Yeah.
And
we've got plenty of those.
The different strollers, some you can run behind, some push. It's just, and you use it for how long, right?
Yeah.
And then what do you do?
Nope.
You hit and you guys buy it. You give them cash right on the spot.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not a consignment store. We pay out cash. And boy, do we pay out cash. And what's interesting, Jim, I should have brought the statistics, but you have had, I want to say, upwards of 6,000 customers from the Green Bay area that have sold to you.
Wow, that's incredible.
That's cool.
In that short of amount of time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, the last time you were here, you were talking about just starting this up.
You just bought the building. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Now, one of the things I'm going to ask, though, if people bring stuff to you, and obviously you go through it, you don't take everything.
Right.
So, I'll buy this for X amount. These I don't need. Do they ever say, well, would you want them anyway? And then do you donate them or anything like that? Or just say, just take them back? Or
yeah, so we give them the option. So basically, people come in. We have, you know, two types of customers. We don't, you know, we're not, when you say high-end, we are, because we do carry those high-end brands, but not, and we carry mostly all brands, like right down to Old Navy to stuff in the mall and things like that. But we're not at those prices. So when people come in, their ideas, some people, we have customers come in that just want to, they're kind of wanting to bargain with us, but that's not the kind of store that we have. The kind of store that we have is people that are wanting to get rid of things. Instead of donating it, they're getting some cash back.
Right.
So most people say, oh, I usually go to Goodwill and I just drop it off. Well, no, maybe you can either trade.
You get nothing for.
Right, right. So we trade too. So the trading means that they get, right. So the trading means that they get cash or they can get the credit. So the credit, they come in, it's like recycling their clothes. They're giving me the clothes they don't want, but they're buying some things from me. So it's like trading out and they get more of that.
And the other thing, people have got to come to your store and look at it, but sometimes you go into those consignment stores and it's like I don't like clutter, and your store is so well laid out, and
so I get that,
and I'm sure the franchise helped you with that, but I mean
layout, but with me too, I have an OCD problem with clean. No, but seriously, I get that a lot of people come in and they say it's very color coordinated, right. Easy to find things, also very clean, and it smells good, and that I take pride in, because I just think that when I walk into a store that's
the
secondhand,
connotation of someone's, yes,
absolutely,
I don't want it to smell like stale clothes. So.
Yeah, right. I think that's cool. Tell me a little bit more about the kid to kid thing. That's a nice concept. There's just, like, I think I'm with John on kids' clothes are so expensive. They're more than our clothes.
No. Yeah, right.
And so, are you getting?
Do you remember Baby Gap?
Yeah.
Is that still in business?
Yeah. I don't know.
Some of the stores like Gymboree is out of business, but we still see some of that come through.
Yeah, there were some
I used to buy stuff. And it's like,
There were some really nice kids stores though. Puddle Duck, in Green Bay, and then there's another over here.
So those kinds of things, you know, when you just think, oh, my little granddaughter has to have this $90 outfit, and you're going, okay, great.
But my question is, Jen, are you getting inventory on that? How's that coming?
Oh, we're so far ahead on that. So far ahead of that, Jim. That typically it takes about 90 days to inventory a store.
Yeah,
she's probably going to have that done in 60.
Okay.
Oh. So the response has been phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah, because right now I'm at 69% full. I have to have 26,000 items in the store, and I'm up to like 20,000 now.
Why do you have to?
So
what's
they
the franchise?
Okay. So
basically,
you have to have a certain amount of items. And Jim's making a good point. You don't want it so cluttered and messy that it's not shoppable.
Yeah.
But you want to have it so that it's reasonable. And then because you're in the thrift business, you have to have back stock. So if all of a sudden you're out of something, you can go back and get a bin and put some new stuff out. So stuff is new every day because you can't just call a vendor and ship it in.
And I was going to ask you that. Do you guys share product store to store with the 100 stores?
No, we don't.
Oh, you don't? Okay, so it's your store.
But Lynn also owns a franchise down in Appleton. So hopefully we open Appleton next year and we would then be able to do that between our stores.
Okay. I want to shift gears a little bit and just talk about the you have good employees there, but some of it's blood.
20 of them.
But how is that getting employees? Because we have retail people in here all the time and they're like, can't get this. They're not dependable. They come in and all of a sudden they're on vacation for 3 weeks. It's only been here a week. So,
you know, Jim, it's a good thing you're out of business now, because I want to tell you, you know, I mean, you can't even part-time kids are starting at $14, $15, you know, and then, but you know what? We've been very, very fortunate and we've got a nice system in place where we've been able to vet quite a few people, and you've got a really good team of 20 people now.
So I don't talk about franchises. I looked at franchises and I just, you know, I don't know. What do they do? I mean, they get obviously the name. They help you with your layout. Do they help you with employee training? I mean, what is the benefit of giving them X percent of
sales? Question. Well, again, Jim, you're an entrepreneur. You bootstrap the stuff. And, you know, it kind of gets you where you would have normally been 10 years from now.
Oh, cool.
Right away. And so there are training modules and videos and things that the people can go through. There's cash management systems, inventory control systems, merchandising and marketing systems. And so you pay for that you know, you pay for that and then they take a clip every month, but it gets you to start. I mean, you could have Jim's Burgers. I've ate at your house. You have great burgers, but you know, you'd be better off buying a McDonald's franchise.
And I think Shannon's have done pretty well with that. I mean, the franchise, they do take a little bit of money, but they give you that consistency you're looking for. And I'm sure you go to trade shows and learn more from
it's the name though. It's the name. Cause I've had customers come in that don't even know. And they're like, I know this store. I've been to those in North Carolina. I've been to one in Tennessee or whatever. They know the name. So they're like, I was so excited to look up and see there was a kid to kid or an uptown.
How do you, okay, if you have 20 employees, okay, sure. Somebody brings in a box of clothes.
Yeah.
And they say, hey, you want to go through these? Is each employee trained to know what look for? Good or is there like one person that.
Right.
Go to Louie. He gives you the most.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That kind of thing.
So yeah, that's where the training modules come in. So we have buyers and gatekeepers. So the buyer is the person that makes the decision of what they're going to price it at, which we have the computer that tells us condition, what the style is, all that stuff. And then it tells us price point.
Yeah. So they load in the...
They load in each item. And so it's hard on the kid-to-kid side because if you have 300 items, that's 300 items we're putting in the computer.
But then
but that's what I'm saying is, like, if some girl who doesn't have any experience in this walks in, would you hire her and then train her?
Yes.
Or would you just say, if you don't have some experience, we can't?
No. Okay, they have to do the training modules, which gotcha. Is
But
which
you're
is
right,
time.
John, because, awesome. You know, they're spending our money.
Right, exactly.
So, and you want the customer to be happy so that they're getting a good value, but you don't want to buy things that you shouldn't be buying.
That
and
won't
so,
sell.
So the system will recognize, like, say, those are American Eagle pair of jeans. They're 3 years old. They sold for $60. We can sell them for $20, so we can pay $6 or $7. So got the it. System is very, very automated, but you still want to have a trained person. So, like Lynn said, she has what's called a gatekeeper and a that does the pre-sorting, buyer. And then the buyer that does the assessment.
Oh,
and then
okay.
that offer is submitted to the customer and saying, here, we could buy 20 of your 40 items. Here's what we can give you. What do you want to do?
And then when they
totally
pick
answer
them,
my question.
Yeah, thank and you. They then they price them. They put it looks like right. a brand new.
It's
price
all about
sticker.
Condition too. Right. Like, and it's so different on both sides because on the kid to kid side, it's not about style as much as condition because kids stuff wears down. But on the uptown side, it's more style. So it's
do you have men's clothes?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Oh okay.
Whole they men's do. Section. Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest with you, jeans are expensive.
Well, we have tons of them.
You wouldn't know if these jeans were like $90.
Okay, so you're going to come in the store and check it out.
Jim wouldn't pay $90 for a pair of jeans if his life
have you
out.
Bought a pair of jeans lately?
No, I have. You know what? You have, but I've been in their store. I've been in Uptown Cheapskate and I bought some. Like Johnny's wearing now. What's that called? Like the pullovers?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And there's a reason I wear these basically
and
every day.
I got
this shirt free
I have
from
a whole
Centago.
Green Bay Packer so section,
right.
too.
Just check it around. Okay, we'll come back in 1 minute. Great song.
He just, He doesn't miss much.
No. Welcome back. Mino and the Mariner. Beautiful Thursday morning here with a couple of very interesting people. Lynn and John Mocco talking about Uptown Cheapskate, used clothing store, gently worn clothing store.
And kid to kid.
Okay, what's the brand? I think that's a good question. What is it? So Uptown Cheapskate, like in a few words, what is it?
It says Fashion Exchange.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, that's what I was looking for, Fashion Exchange. So you can go there and you'll pay cash for people bringing in some good things. And if they just want to drop it off, what you don't use, you give to Goodwill or not Goodwill. You give it to Freedom House, which is great because that's for families.
Yep. Freedom House picks up twice a week. Manna for Life picks up once a week. And
St. Paul.
St. Vincent.
What a great
picks
community
twice a week.
Right? Service type thing this is.
Well,
by including really all is. These boxes, yeah, checking all these boxes.
And I don't want to lose
and
sight of the
like
fact
that
it people today, kids, educated kids, like to buy from those types of stores. And I think that's like a really cool thing that I wasn't like that.
It is, Jim, from Nike shoes and stuff. I mean, and we even get high-end stuff. I mean, Coach purses and, I mean, it's crazy.
We sold a Gucci purse. Yeah. I think it was it was a $1,700 purse came in the store and someone bought it for $400. $399.
They were here for a Packer game. She's from New York and she goes,
from
oh
New
my
York.
Gosh.
She goes, I have to have the purse.
I gotta have that.
And then tell us about the Packer gear you have.
Yeah,
we have a whole Packer section, even for kids.
Yeah.
Cool.
We're the only Uptown Cheapskate and kid-to-kid in the country with Packer gear.
Right.
So again, what would you tell people, and I hate to put it this way, but let's just be blunt, don't waste your time coming down and, you know, what not to bring.
Yeah, so we're not looking for dishes. We're not looking for, you know, houseware and things like that for the Uptown side. What we're looking for is things that are gently used. So nothing that's like from a garage sale that they've had in their basement for years on end. And believe it or not, this is a little interesting part. Clothes have date tags on them. So we really look at those. Anything that's older than 2 to 3 years old, we won't touch it because it's just out of style. So if you look on a pair of jeans, a lot of them don't have date tags, but some of them do. And it will say like 05/21. That means it was, you know, May of 2021.
Okay, let me just correct you on one thing, though.
Sure.
I thought they said
about things that you might think are outdated. Old rock concert t-shirts.
I know. I knew you was going to go there. Yeah. So vintage.
Right.
That's a different vintage.
Right. So vintage is different than just something that you bought at American Eagle and then all of a sudden it's like 4 years old.
Yeah. But vintage is.
He's not talking about you, Jim.
Okay. No, I don't know. Vintage is an art, about you. Just like yours.
It is an art. So when we look at that, which we did get some of those old band t-shirts in, we will take some vintage stuff. Now, we're not talking like grandma's old mink coat. We don't take those. So it's very hard because some people come in and they don't understand. They're like, oh, this is worth a lot. And it's like, it may be for them, but it's not for us.
And I was going to say that if like you take the stuff to St. Vinny's or to Freedom House, we have a friend that does vintage t-shirts.
Sure.
And maybe you could sell those to him because, I mean, he's all into Slade, some of these old bands.
Well, you have a whole section of that.
We do.
Oh, you do.
I think
so. The vintage music stuff is that's cool.
It's
and
hot.
We do buy it in. And like I said,
I'm waiting for John Denver shirts to come back in.
Can't wait. They go fast on that.
Yeah, it's definitely an art when they have people buy stuff.
Let me ask this one other thing, though, that was real cool a few years ago was like bowling shirts from the 60s. Mm. Are they still vintage cool?
That was cool in John's world. Right. John, those were never cool.
So, they were.
We don't buy anything that has like a business name on it or anything like that.
But like Bob's Tavern Bowling League?
No. Okay. Now, the only thing we do buy
cool. Go to St. Vinny's.
The stuff around here, like the Badgers and, you know, but even like the schools, the colleges, it takes that one special person that's going to that college. So we learn not to buy those things.
So we take the university stuff, but we would.
Yeah, not very much.
Okay.
Right. Because even if you don't go there, you're still proud of the university.
Like, you know, what do we do with Carroll College?
So give me the hours, the location. I'll go to the location again because I said I kept dropping JCPenney's and not everybody knows where that is. And that's also not new, but.
We're in the shadow of Lambeau Field.
Yes.
Over by the Ashwaubenon Mall off of Oneida Street on Willard Drive.
Right.
And right next door is the Pizza Ranch, right?
Right.
Yep.
And right
and
across
Kirkland's is in there.
Kirkland's or across the street is Cerugi's.
It's Cerugi's, right. So
what's the name of the candy store?
Don't ask me to say it because I can't. I couldn't even say Ashwaubenon when I first moved here. I was like, how do you say this word?
Oh, they call themselves Green Bay, so don't worry about it.
That's
I
thought.
And what are your hours?
Yep. So we're Monday through Friday. We open up at 9 and we close at 8. Our buying hours are from 9 to 7.
Do you need a reservation to come in to?
Good question.
No. Okay. And then on Saturday, we're open from 9 to 6 for buying, and then we close at 7 o'clock on Saturday. And we're closed on Sunday. We're not open at all on
Sunday. Great for the employees. Great for you.
Yeah,
I mean,
it gives us a day off.
Okay, you put any hours in?
So we buy
a lot.
We buy every day, John. All styles, all seasons.
Okay.
Until an hour before we close.
Okay.
Do you have a website? Because you run some promotions too there. I mean, how do people learn more about Uptown Cheapskate?
We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We have TikTok on all of those platforms. Yep. We have
Uptown
the kids doing all this stuff.
UptownCheapskate.com. Yep.
Okay, well, that's easy.
Okay, Big Wayne, when he was here, did you see that vest he had on? The BQ?
Yeah.
That's from 1968.
Yeah,
what about that?
No.
That's cool.
See, it would only take this one person to buy
me.
It.
I'd clear
and you may never come
store.
In, and it would already be through the
she has this cup.
No.
That's right. I do have that cup.
But you'd buy some nice
stuff.
Fine. You'd have some great things. This is great what you're doing, and I really like the whole environmental side of it, that we're kind of recycling. And
You could get into all kinds of stuff, Jim, like how much water we save, you know, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it really is quite fascinating. I mean,
it's a cool franchise.
We've paid out, I think, in excess of $130,000 to people here in Brown County. So, you know, that's cash that gets recycled. And I can't begin to tell you how much stuff has been donated. So it really is a smart, smart thing, and we're proud to be part of it.
Yeah, and that's, and your plans are, you're going to be opening up the Kid to Kid, yeah, and then you're looking at
that? These are the first ones, as Lynn said. There's quite a few in Texas, there's quite a few in Florida, there's quite a few in Utah, there's quite a few in other states, but this is the first one in the state of Wisconsin. She's also going to be opening in Appleton, and then we'll see. You know, our family has a history of opening a bunch of stores, so we'll see what happens.
Cool.
Do you have rights to the state?
Don't have rights to the whole state. I tried buying all 20 state sites, and they told me to get out of there.
I mean, people try that all the time. But it's get well, this is here. Great what you're doing here for Green Bay, Greater Green Bay. It's just a great, the whole concept, and that doesn't surprise, you know, I've known you for some years, that you would buy into a franchise like this, because this is, it's something that's environmental, it's hitting the right market at the right time, and really helping the community. Here's your John Denver's. He misses nothing.
Oh, he did that for you.
He did. Okay. He did. All right, we'll find a shirt.
Would you be interested in a sexist Mino worn?
Oh, my gosh. You're not going to give up, are you?
No, I'm not. No, he doesn't.
That's why I have this cup.
I'll wear you down. Hey, thanks for being here. This is really interesting. Yeah, I'd love to stop in and see this.
Yes,
thanks.
Please do.
Love to bring my granddaughters in there and see this.
Yes, bring them in.
Outstanding. Thank you so much, Lynn and John Mocco.
We
come back. Vanessa is joining us to talk about feeding the starving children. Back after this.